Now, a lot of pastors, and I've done it as well, teach a sermon on thankfulness, being thankful. But I think as we've been going through the books of the Bible and the New Testament, I think we have a good idea and understanding here what God has done for us. And I think if not all of us, probably most of us, are very thankful. But there is a difference between thankfulness and being thankful and showing your thankfulness. Yesterday, me and Chaplain Watson were traveling around. He was giving me the tour, and we were going from one base to the other, and there was a Starbucks, and he needed coffee, and I was like, well, that's a good idea. So when we went in there, there's always people when I'm in uniform or something, they'll say, thank you for your service. They're very kind. They're thankful. They're thankful, but they actually go out of their way to tell us they're thankful. Sometimes we've had people be sitting in a restaurant and some of the waiter will come and say, well, the gentleman over here, the lady over here paid for all of your, I was with my last unit, and there was 16 of us went out. One of our sergeants was getting out, and we sat down, and there were 16 of us, and we all had his going-away lunch, and a gentleman paid for all of us. That was a couple hundred dollars. They were showing their thankfulness. As Christians, we are to be thankful. We are to live in that state of thankfulness for what God has done for us. But I believe today I put it on my heart to return to a sermon that I did 2.5 years ago. It's a sermon that I like to return to every once in a while because it's such a good visual. It's something that I don't want people to forget. This sermon, and this is not look at my sermon, but the content of the sermon, this sermon has the potential to affect you every day of your life for the rest of your life. And I want to look, instead of just talking about being thankful, I want us to go to the next level and show our thankfulness. What's the best way of showing how thankful we are for what God has done for us? We're going to see today that Jesus experienced joy to die on the cross. And I think we should be thankful and be able to experience the joy of serving and showing Christ how thankful we are. I am thankful for my wife. Bottom of my heart, I am thankful for my wife, because if it wasn't for Wendy, I probably would not even be a believer. But you know what? I have a thankfulness in my heart, but I want her to know it. I show her. And sometimes I fail at that, but I try to consistently show her every day, week, how thankful I am for her. And I do things for her, and I tell her things. And I think that's the same way we should be with God. We should be thankful, but I think we should also go to the next level and show our thankfulness. And so I want to return to this sermon, Showing the Light of Christ, a sermon written in the sky. Because we've seen a lot of darkness in the world, have we not, in the last couple weeks? A month or so ago, Las Vegas, 58 people were killed, I think. Do you know how many were wounded? 500. And then, of course, we had the shooting in Texas at the church. And then we had a shooting just down the road from here, didn't we? A lot of darkness in the world. And those are just three of the news headlines. And then we have the sexual scandals that are erupting through Hollywood and now touching politicians. Does it feel like our country is imploding? And if you study history, world history, how did all the great empires collapse? Morally, from within. There's a lot of darkness around us. There is a need for us to show our thankfulness to God by being light. This week, it was rough here, just around this church building. Me and Lisa had to deal with certain things and certain people, and there was depressing almost this last week, the darkness around this building. There is a call and there's a need for the light of Christ to be shown. But you know, there's an interesting statement from Jesus in Luke 18, 8, the second part of the verse. He said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Now, this is a direct statement to the church. When he returns to collect this church, to rapture the church, John MacArthur states that this verse is about when Jesus returns. The true faith, true Christianity, will be comparatively rare. And we know this from other Bible passages. As in the days of Noah, when only 8 people believed. Can you imagine only 8 people believing in the world? There was a time like that. The Bible tells us that there will be a period of time before Jesus' return. Well, this period will be marked with great persecution. We just had persecution Sunday. We saw all the persecution that's been going on in the world. It's also going to be marked with apostasy, the great falling away, the turning from the truth, the turning from sound doctrine, the word of God, to fables, people wanting their ears tickled. We see that happening greatly in the church. And then also just rapid unbelief throughout the general world. And boy, we see that. I just told you that battalion, 1,000 people, 30 people show up for a chapel service. Most of the officers are atheists. There's just the unbelief that has swept across America and the world. We're describing today. But just because it sounds dark, and it is dark, that doesn't mean we just have to give up, throw our hands up and walk away, hide out in the church. We can be the exception. We can be part of the faithful who are truly thankful and showing our thankfulness to our Lord and making a difference in this world. Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, "Therefore, be imitators of God." Think about that statement. We're to be like God. In what way? As dear children, walk in love. Okay, so he's not telling us to be God or thinking we are God or try to act like God and try to order people around and be in charge. It's talking about be imitators of God when it comes to loving others. As Christ also loved us and given himself for us. An offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be even named among you as is fitting for saints. That is us. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. This is talking about the crude humor. The humor you see most comedians do today. That a Christian cannot even listen to any of their jokes. This coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 5, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." There are many people teaching in the world that there is no hell, there is no judgment of God, that God forgives all sin because God is love and love conquers all, love wins. There's a people out there that are deceiving with empty words and thus that have the truth are silent, but they're deceiving many, and then we just kind of get the attitude, well, I don't want to rock the boat, I don't want to cause waves, I don't want people angry with me, so we just keep quiet. But no, we're to be warning people there's a judgment to come. Yes, God is love, and he's willing to forgive all your sins, but you must turn from those sins. You must put your faith in him, be born again. For those that do not do this, who are not in Christ, there is a judgment coming. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. We're not supposed to be letting that false gospel and those false doctrines out there without trying to counter them with the truth. We're We're to worry about lost people and not just worry about ourselves. Verse 8, for you were once darkness. Do you understand? We were once darkness. And I don't care if you were born in the church and raised in the church. You were born in the darkness. And somewhere, even in your church life, you had to come to the understanding you were a sinner and you needed to be born again just like anybody else. We were all alienated from God. We were all standing against God, whether you realized it or not. We were all sinners. We were all in darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. We are to help people know what is right and what's wrong in this world. What God says is good, what God says is bad. It's our job to expose the lies of the darkness. That's going to irritate some people. It is. But not are we only called to be light, we're called to be what? Salt. Have you ever gotten salt in an open wound? Doesn't feel good, does it? But it actually purifies it. But it irritates. I had a young lady come to the church this last week. She was coming here for certain needs and everything. And I said, do you believe in God? And she said, well, yes. I said, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you know who Jesus Christ is? And she stood up and looked angry at me and says, I believe in all the religions. I said, well, I understand that, but I said, that's not the best route. That's actually a wrong route to take. I said, can I share with you about Jesus Christ? And she goes, I believe in love. And I think I don't need to put up with this hassling from you. I said, I'm not trying to hassle you. I said, I want to tell you about the greatest love. I need to leave. Okay. She didn't, she came to a Baptist church, a church of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, you come here, you're going to hear about Jesus Christ. Because that's your greatest need, whether you realize it or not. And I'm not going to be brass about it. I'm not going to be confrontational, but I do need to share Jesus Christ with you. She didn't want to have anything to do with it. I was irritating her. But that's what salt does sometimes. But it's okay, because I gave her some food for thought. She left here with some thoughts maybe she'd never heard before. Hopefully those are little seeds that the Holy Spirit, and I prayed, Holy Spirit, to irritate her with those little seeds I was able to plant. She wouldn't even let me pray for her because I was going to pray the gospel. She was going to hear the gospel through my prayer, but she wasn't sticking around for that. But we have to expose what people hold on to as truth as it's not truth. That's what we're called to do. Verse 12. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. We are to be light so others can become light. Others can be saved, born again, who are spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. Christ gave us the Holy Spirit for the express purpose of being his witnesses, to share the truth of him through the gospel to those who are lost. Telling them of the light of truth that came into the world. For us to be the light that reflects who he is. Yes, this week we are to be thankful. And we are, as Christians, always be thankful in our hearts for the Lord. But I also want us to know that we should manifest that thankfulness by witnessing and living for Christ as he has called us to do. To show him how thankful we are by being his church and a faithful church at that. to be his lights in a dark world. And the dark world needs us to be true light. I know this is very important to God, that we be light. I know it is. I believe it's so important to God that he designed his literal creation around it. Every day we are reminded by his creation, and I think by design, of the light of Jesus Christ and our calling as his witnesses. So I want to redo striving to be a full moon. It's a good reminder. We have some new people that have joined the church. I know they have not heard this, but this is something that can affect us every day, if you'll remember it. Yesterday, as I got out, I got up at 4:30 in the morning to drive to Vallejo, and it was dark. And as I got on, it's Highway 5 going down south, the sun started to come up. And as the sun barely started coming up, started getting light, I thought of this sermon, I thought of the truth of what that means, how God designed it, and boy, it just set me on the right course for the day. Who I was representing yesterday. Who I was really serving yesterday. So, I believe that God designed the sun and the moon to remind us every day throughout the year about being the light of this world. And so before my time runs out this morning, I hope we make this point and we can leave here today with very thankful hearts, but also understanding that there is a call for us to show our thankfulness. Psalms 19, 1 through 4 says this: "The heavens keep telling the wonders of God, and the skies declare what he has done. Each day informs the following day. Each night announces to the next." It's continual. "They don't speak a word, and there is never a sound of a voice. Yet their message," the skies have a message to them, "reaches all the earth, and it travels around the world." What is that message? Well, yes, there is an overall arcing message of the creation speaks to God's power, his artistry, his intelligence. But I think if we take it down to the sun and the moon, there's a message even clearer than that. Let's go all the way back to Genesis. God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Genesis 1:16. Now, many of you, you're older, and you'll understand this word. The younger generation doesn't understand this word. Ponder. You see, millennials and younger ones, they never ponder anymore, do they? They have their phone. They don't have their phone, they got their computer. And if they don't have their computer, they got the TV. They're constantly busy, constantly doing stuff. They never have time to sit around and ponder, even if they knew what that meant. To think deeply. To ponder. To muse. Muse means to think deeply. But what does our culture want to do today? If you take a root word like muse and you put an A in front of it, it means the exact opposite, doesn't it? David said, "I used to look at the stars, I used to muse at the stars." But see, today in our culture, we like to be amused. Means not to think. We even have whole parks dedicated to that purpose. They're called what? Amusement parks. Have you ever pondered why God designed the world, the universe, the way he did? I mean, there was no instructions that he had to follow. There was no one saying that color would look better, this color would look better. He could design it any way he wanted to design it. And we know from Scripture that God does not do anything without a purpose. There's a purpose in everything he does. So why did he design the sun and the moon the way he did? Well, I believe, I think we'll show through Scripture, he designed it to testify of himself and to testify to us. I think when we look at the moon and the sun, we can be encouraged every day as believers. Let's look at Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, the sky, shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveal knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So this goes against across all nations, ethnic groups. What the sky is telling us can be understood by all. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them, he has set a tabernacle for the sun, S-U-N, which is like. So he's saying the sun in the sky, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a champion to run his race. Its rising is from one end of the heaven and its circuit to the other end. It's going to complete the course. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. Now, Psalmist describes the sun as a bridegroom. Who else is described as a bridegroom in Scripture? Jesus. Who else is described like a champion that had the course set out before him to endure what God had called him to do? And he ran his course and didn't finish it. And he was our champion because he defeated sin and death. Jesus Christ, the Son. He's our champion. There's nothing hidden from its heat. In Scripture, symbolic, God's judgment is by fire, by heat. Nothing is hidden from the heat of the sun. Nothing's going to escape the judgment of God. We should know that here in Reading. Nothing escapes the heat of the sun. Nothing escapes the judgment of Christ. You see, the sunrise, like I said, I saw a beautiful one yesterday morning. I think God designed it this way. That each day the sunrise testifies. It's going to run its course across the sky. It testifies that Jesus Christ, the light of the world, came into the world. Jesus said it himself. I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I think God wants the whole world to know. The light of the world. And so he designed creation to testify to that every day. He designed a great light to chase away the darkness as it enters into that day. And it runs its circuit across the sky. For believers, I think we should be encouraged every time we see the sun. If we see the sunrise, maybe you don't get up that early. Maybe you see it high in the day, understanding God sees all and he's there. But the sun should encourage us. It should make us think of Christ. Psalms 84 says this, for the Lord God is a sun. Now, he's not talking about the sun god or anything like that, and we should worship the sun. But the psalmist is pointing here that the sun has many attributes to testify, to teach us about the Son of God. Let's look at the sun. The sun gives light. That's obvious. The sun gives life to the planet. Do we know how the sun provides life? Photosynthesis. The plants. Plants give us oxygen. We all need oxygen to breathe. Warms the planet. Can you imagine this planet without the sun? Pretty cold. Causes the winds. How does the sun cause the winds? Change in air temperatures, our scientists down here in the front row. It's a teller of time. Now, most kids would never know this, even though there's a huge one in Reading. Sundial, teller of time. The sun, those are some of the attributes of the sun. Now, let's look at the sun, S-O-N, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The sun is light, blinding light like the sun. When he was transfigured on the mountain, but even more so when Saul encountered him on the road to Damascus. What happened to Saul when he looked at Jesus, who is light? It blinded him. Have you guys ever, don't do this, but have you ever tried to look at the sun directly on a nice clear day? What happens? Maybe for not even a second, you can look at it, and then you're pushing and rubbing your eyes, trying to get your focus back. Paul looked directly at Jesus Christ, and he was blinded, literally. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the life. He said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through me. Without Jesus Christ, there is no life. Yes, you may live in this world, and then you will die, and then you'll be judged, and you'll be separated for all eternity. You will not exist in life. Only life is found in Christ. Warms the heart. We talked about it when we talked about the body, soul, and spirit. And how God takes our old cold heart, our stone heart, our bitter heart, our corrupted heart, and he gives us a heart of flesh, warm, soft, alive. Warms the heart. Winds of change. When Christ comes in, Nicodemus was talking to Jesus, and Jesus said, you see the wind, but you don't know where it goes or where it comes from. You just don't understand it. That's the way the Holy Spirit is. And the winds of change, when Christ saves us, the Holy Spirit comes in, and we are changed. The old is gone, the new has come. And if there's enough change and enough believers, cultures change. Families change. Remember the end of the spear, the tribe that killed the five missionaries? And then their wives and one of the sisters of the men went in, and they brought change to that tribe. The tribes, all they did was war and kill each other for centuries. But now they're different. They've changed. Jesus is the winds of change. And Jesus is the holder of time. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. You see, the sun, S-U-N, I think was designed specifically to remind those, to tell the world, but also to remind those who truly understand and believe in Jesus Christ and remind us every day and encourage us who our Lord is, that God is in control, who we serve. Psalm 19 says this, the heavens keep telling the wonders of God, and the skies declare what he has done. The light has come into the world. Jesus came. But you notice that when we see Jesus as the sun, or the sun testifies about and reminds us of Jesus. Go to the next one. The sun does not stick around, did it? Does it? The sun came up yesterday morning, but what happened last night? It went down. The sun came up this morning. It's going to go down later. He ran the circuit, ran the course like a champion. But it didn't stick around. It doesn't stay. It eventually sets and darkness returns. Jesus, when he came into this world, did not stay. He equipped his disciples, got them ready. He was crucified. He was resurrected. Spent a little more time with them, and then he ascended. He ran his course like a champion. Did what the Father asked him to do. And then he left. The sun is the greater light, but it's replaced with a lesser light when it departs. And that would be, in the physical realm, our creation, the moon. Jesus is the great light, but when he left, he said, you're the light now. You're my light in this world. We're not the light. We're a lesser light. So I think the moon, as the sun reflects and testifies of Christ, I believe the moon testifies to us as believers. In Psalms 89, it says this, "It shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky, Salah." Now, context of chapter 89, Psalm 89, is that it's talking about the word of God. It will be established forever. But I like how it references the moon as the faithful witness in the sky. What is the moon testifying in the sky to? Well, let's look. Let's look at the characteristics of the moon. The moon reflects the light of the sun. It cannot produce its own light. Without the sun, it has no light. The moon affects the ocean tides. The moon reveals the sun is there, even though we can't see it. It's reflecting the light of the sun, so we know the sun is still on. It's a guide in the night. I've been in many places around the world, and there have been a few nights that I specifically remember where the moon was so big and so bright. I remember one time it was just my shadow was on the ground. I could see it so visibly. The moon was that bright. And it's a really comfort when it's dark and you're in the middle of nowhere, but you can still see. It's a guide in the night. Well, let's look at the Christian. The Christian reflects the light of Jesus. We cannot produce our own light. We cannot be good. Humanity's not good. Our hearts are evil. We need a heart transplant. We need spirit to become to life. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the light of Jesus to actually produce any good light in this world. We can't produce it on ourselves. The Christian can affect change in culture. We can shift the tides in culture if we're strong enough in Christ. The Christian reveals that Jesus is alive even though he's not here, because he lives in us. He's changed us. He's equipped us. He's given us his word. We can testify that Jesus is truly alive and coming soon. The Christian is a guide to those who are lost in the darkness of sin. We can tell people how to escape it because we were once there and someone shared the gospel with us. We can do that for others now. So I believe the moon is there as a testimony to us what God is calling us to do, to be the lesser light but still be light in a dark world. Now the moon has some interesting things about it. It's different than the sun. I want to show you Matthew 13. "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. And he becomes unfruitful." As believers, we are called to walk the straight and narrow. We are called to serve God. We are called to be his witnesses. We are called to be salt and light. And we're not to let anything get in the way of that. But the world is constantly tempting us, is it not? The world is constantly wanting to derail us, to take our light away. You know, the one interesting thing about the moon is the moon changes shape, doesn't it? Go to the first picture of the moon. Now, is that a full moon? Close. Close, Sarah Jane, but close. But there's a part missing. Can't see it anymore. Did it fall off? You sure? Okay, so it didn't fall off. It's still there, but you can't see it no more. Something is blocking the light of that part of the moon. What's causing that to happen? The earth. The earth is slowly blocking some of the light of the moon. Remember, the moon cannot produce its own light. The world, the earth, is blocking some of the light of the sun. And so now the moon cannot be full. If this moon was set in the creation to testify to us who are the lesser lights, what would this be teaching us? Because they have a lesson to teach. We need the sun. If we let the world start creeping in, if we give way in one area of our life to sin, it's going to start making the light of Christ depart from us. Not lose your salvation or anything like that. I'm not trying to get too deep. It's just you're not going to be able to reflect Jesus Christ because you're being caught up in a sinful, worldly temptation. Go to the next one. When I brought that up, one of the teenagers in the first service went, "Oh, no!" It's like, good. That's a good yes. He got it. Man, that's Christians being overtaken by the world. The world is starting to eat up the light, the cares, the deceitfulness, the sinfulness. This Christian is losing the struggle. He's told to run the race with endurance, but now he's stumbling. Or she is stumbling. And the world is taking over. Go to the next. That's a Christian barely holding on. The world is consuming that Christian. And they are no longer, that moon can't give you much guide on a dark night, can it? There's even a worse condition. It's called a lunar eclipse. Where the world completely gets in front of the sun. And all the light of the moon is gone. The world takes over. There's a difference between a Christian whose light is out and a Christian whose light is bright. We've been called to be his witnesses. We have been called to shine in a dark world. But too many Christians are letting the world and the cares of this world consume them, and they are no longer shining bright. Jesus said, "Will I find real faith when I return?" You know, where there's the lunar eclipse, there's the also the opposite. It's called what? A solar eclipse. We had this one this last summer. What were they telling everybody this summer, how to watch it? Don't look straight at it. It'll hurt your eyes. Why? Because the moon swings around, puts the world behind it, and then it's right there in front of the sun, embracing the sun, and the sun's beauty and light encompasses the moon. And it's so bright it can hurt the eyes. We can be so much like Jesus Christ if we will surrender to him that we shine to the point where the world would have a hard time looking at us. We can either have our light taken out or we can have our light full and encompassed. It's just depending on how much of the world will we give up. How much will we sacrifice? How thankful are we for what Christ has done for us? So it comes down to this simple question. Which one are you going to be? Because guess what? It is completely up to you. It's completely up to you. God's not going to force you. But God is willing and ready to pour into you. It's just how much are you going to open up to him? How much are you going to surrender to him? You can be a full and bright moon or you can be a crescent moon. It's strictly up to you. Quickly, I've heard people say, "I can't. I can't do it. I don't have it in me to be a full moon. It's just too hard to walk the Christian life." And guess what? I'm not gonna sit up here and lie. Following Jesus Christ will probably be the hardest thing you've ever done in your life. To truly follow. To surrender to discipleship and sanctification. It will be. It's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. It's easy to be saved. But to follow him into sanctification and do his will and not your own, hardest thing you'll ever do. And there'll be sometimes you do great, and there'll be other times you just fail. Just fail, okay? And true, you don't have it in yourself. But if you have Jesus Christ, then you can be a full moon for Christ. I have many verses I could give you, but I'm just going to give you the last two. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. Now, sin, temptation, the cares of this world, they can ensnare you easy, but you also at the same time can lay them aside. Through the Holy Spirit of God, you can lay them aside. You can overcome them. And let us run with endurance the race that was set before us, just like our champion, Jesus Christ, ran his race. He didn't let anything sideline him, nothing to derail him. He ran his race. And we are to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. God can create in you a full moon if you will let him. He's the author and finisher. Look at this. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We know how terrible it was for Jesus. But in there, he experienced a joy that few ever experience. The joy of knowing, he took joy knowing that his suffering, what good it was going to bring. How many lives were going to be saved? There was a joy in serving the Father's will. Jesus said, I want to give you my joy. There is a joy to be discovered in the sacrifice and in the following of Jesus Christ. But not everyone experiences it. Striving to be a full moon. One last thing I want to make about this. The sun is a constant. It never changes, does it? It's always the same size. Always goes across the sky. The sun doesn't change. But the moon changes, doesn't it? Every month, you'll see the crescent, you'll see the quarter, you'll see the half, three quarters, and the full moon. Again, I think that's by God's design. Why? Because the lesser light, being believers, we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. And God wants to remind us of two things with the moon and the way it changes shape. One, it's happened on me more than one occasion. There will be days that I have lost my Christian witness. I know that would be hard to believe. Where I have failed as a believer in Jesus Christ. There have been days that I was wretched. And I remember one day I walked out in the parking lot and I was feeling bad. And I know I had failed God that day. I was like, oh. And I went like this. I got in the parking lot and I looked up and there it was. The moon was a crescent. And it was going, yep, that was you today. The faithful witness in the sky. But you know what? That moon doesn't stay as a crescent, does it? Within a month, it's full, beautiful. That's grace. There'll be times we fail as Christians to reflect the full light of Christ. It's not okay, but it's okay because it's not what, you know, we don't get content with being a half moon or a sliver of a moon. But grace will restore us back to full if we will seek Christ and trust him. We don't have to stay. We can overcome. And for that, each month the moon is new. If you fail or have failed, it's okay. Get back on track with Christ. He'll make you a new moon again. And you can be a faithful witness. This Thanksgiving, this week, we are to be thankful for God has given us so much and has blessed us as individuals, as families, as a church. But I want us to go to the next level. I want us to show our thankfulness. I want us to be light. I want us to fulfill our purpose as a church and as individual believers. God is calling us every day. He testifies to us. That's what he wants us to do. The light, the sun comes up, the greater light, lets us know and encourage us who we believe in, who we are. And then the moon comes up. What kind of light are we being? It's best to be a full moon. Let us show our thankfulness. Let us show it by being a faithful church and faithful believers. I know if we do this, we will discover a joy that few have ever really discovered. And we will lead many who are lost in darkness into the light. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you. Thank you so much for everything that you have done for us, Lord, for our salvation. Who are we that you should even know and see us? But you do. And you love us. You gave yourself for us. You have crafted creation with purpose and intent. Your word reveals, Lord, the beauty of your creation, the power of it, the knowledge that is there. Lord, I pray that you help everyone that has heard this sermon, to include myself, that we never forget these two points of the sun and the moon. Every day when we see the sun, no matter what's going on, we can take comfort, we can take encouragement in what it means that Jesus Christ has come into the world, that you are in control, that your plan is at work. And no matter what goes on in this world, you're in complete control. And Lord, the moon, sometimes it mocks us, and rightfully so, because we've lost our Christian witness. But other times, Lord, it's beaming bright, calling us to be faithful servants. Lord, I ask you to help us see that, never to forget that. And on those days where we've lost it and we've dropped our Christian witness, that moon will testify to us in a loving way and highlight our shortcoming. But at the same time, Lord, I ask you to encourage us. Encourage us with the moon and with the sun. And Lord, we are thankful. And I ask you to help us to show our thankfulness by being obedient to what you have called us to be. We pray this in your name. And in your name alone, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, our Lord and our Savior, our mighty King. Amen. Thank you for coming. We're done. I nailed it pretty close. I think that clock's a little fast. I hope you all have a wonderful, beautiful, not Christmas, but Thanksgiving Day week. I pray God's peace for all of us, and let us bring families together and friends together. And let us go out this week in thankfulness. Let us take in these truths. Let's enjoy these truths of God. But also let us go and show these truths. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you for coming. God bless you.